So my thought was to try and do this. I wanted to look at some areas of halacha that we don't necessarily have an opportunity outside of a smicha or the like to learn. We will not learn it in that type of depth, but they are principles of halacha which really are relevant all of the time. And I think if we try and, again, without understanding the background fully, but understanding those principles, hopefully we'll have clarity in certain areas of halacha. But not just that, it's that we'll have an appreciation of the system of how the halacha is working. It's not just, you know, pulled out of a hat, but there is a real system to it. I'm going to use the Tzur V'Amei Rabbanan as a guide. And I say that because I get claustrophobic when I'm tied down to any particular system. I like to have a little bit more flexibility, so I don't want to commit to fully be, you know, stuck, not in a bad way, didn't sound right, but meshubad to this work, as excellent as it is. But I think it is a very good guide. They did a tremendous job. I would recommend that I have a little bit of guilt photocopying the beautiful work that they did every single week. So for those who wish, it's volume 4. They're easily available online. I ordered it a few weeks ago. It came in like 3 or 4 days. It's like surba.com. It's on the... Oh, I can send it out afterwards or you can let you know. I think if you order more than 10 at a time, it goes down a few dollars also. So if we want, we can just get to do it together as a group. If anybody's interested, I think we'll give an opportunity to look at it afterwards. If you miss a week or two, we'll try to record them also and to try and get an appreciation of the broader introduction. But again, we're not going to stick solely to what the Sefer has over here. We're going to try to look at the start with Basar B'Chalav. And the Basar B'Chalav is something which we come across, try not to come across. We come across the issues related to Basar B'Chalav all of the time. And we need to try and appreciate some of the details of it. So the Torah, interestingly, relates the prohibition of Basar B'Chalav. It's in the first of the sources over here. As lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. That you're not allowed to cook the gedi, which literally means the young goat, in the milk of its mother. This pasuk is repeated 3 times in the Torah. And based on that, the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Tezvav and Beis in the second source has a drasha. It says Losiv Hashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo 3 times. Echad Iser Achila, Ve'echad Iser Hanav, Echad Iser Bishul. And that teaches us that there are 3 different prohibitions, 3 different Isurim that relate to Basar, that relate to Basar B'Chalev. You are not allowed to create Basar B'Chalev through cooking. It's the Iser of Bishul. You are not allowed to eat the Basar B'Chalev that has been created, and you are not allowed to benefit from it. And those are some of those halakhos we need to try and better understand. And we need to understand several points. We need to understand what items, again, the Torah just told us about a kid and its mother's milk. Is it limited to just a baby goat and its mother's milk? Or there's a whole lot of other potential combinations of basar b'chalav which one could put together. Are those going to be prohibited as well? We also need to understand what is bishul. Maybe we'll start with that point. What is bishul? So there are at least three in the most in the purest sense cooking processes that halacha recognizes, and each one is different. Bishul, to cook something, means that you use heat to heat up a liquid medium, and in that liquid there is an item that cooks. So if you're making a pot of noodles, that's bishul. Why? Because the fire heats up the water, and then the pasta cooks inside of the water. That is referred to as bishul. So it's indirect in terms of the relationship between the fire and the item that is actually being cooked. There's also afia, baking, right? You don't cook cookies, you bake cookies. What's the difference between baking and cooking? So when you have baking, if you think about an oven for a moment, right, the fire, the heat, heats up the walls of the oven, and then the walls of the oven keep in the trap inside the heat, and that heat is what, again, we use the word cooks, but bakes the item. So again, it's indirect vis-a-vis the fire, but there is no liquid medium. And then the most direct process of cooking is what we call tzli, which is roasting. Now, roasting is the fire interacting directly. Think of a barbecue, right? The fire is directly cooking whatever it is, roasting, whatever it is that you're trying to do. Either way, you're trying to take a food and take it from raw to fully processed, but you could do it in one of these three different ways. Now, there is an in-between process, which is frying. And where exactly frying fits in is not 100% clear. Because if you think about it, when you fry, it's very similar to roasting, except that the pan, right, is in between. So if you are deep frying, right, so think donuts, right, that you basically, that's bishel. Just you chose as your liquid medium to use oil, a full vat of oil, instead of using water. But that is certainly considered to be bishel. When you have something which is cooking either in a little bit of oil, which is often there just so that the item doesn't burn, but it's not really part of the cooking process, or when you have something which cooks in its own juices, so where exactly that fits in is a machlokas in the poskim. But those are the basic processes. So again, the Torah here is saying that you are not allowed to cook. You're not allowed to cook. And you're not allowed to cook the gadi bachalev imo. So how specific is that? So if you look at the Torah in the third source, it says, Ksiv lo sivashel gadi, but it's on the second page, lo sivashel gadi bachalev imo, v'nemar sholosh b'matorah. It says, like we said already, three times it says in the Torah, lo sivashel gadi bachalev imo, echad lo sivashel v'chazirachil v'echad lo sirhanah. What we said already, you're not allowed to benefit from it. That's also going to be, we're going to have to talk about that shortly, define what the prohibition of benefiting from it is. You're not allowed to cook, you can't eat, and you can't benefit. Vahotzi is terachila belashom bishol. Right? What the question is the Torah addressing? Is what was the Torah getting at? If the Torah is going to write it three times anyway, so why not write Isser bishol and Isser achila and Isser hana? Why did it say three times that you're not allowed to cook it? So hotzi is terachila belashom bishol. So he's only addressing one of those questions. Why is achila, the prohibition to eat it, termed as not allowed to cook it? Lomar she'eino aser min haTorah ela derech bishol. Ava midrabanan aser b'chol inyan. So point number one is that in order to create what the Torah is highlighting is that in order to create the basar b'chalav, which is aser min haTorah, it has to be through bishol. If you combine them with any other form of heat, which is not derech bishul, not the normal way of cooking, then that is not going to be aser min haTorah to eat. He's already hinting to us, midrabanan, every type of combination. So if you would take a slice of salami, again, let's assume everything's kosher on its own right now, a slice of salami and a slice of cheese, and put them in a sandwich and eat them together, so we're thinking, basar b'chalav. Yes and no, it's meat and chalav, but it's not the Isser d'oraisa of basar b'chalav. In order to make the Isser d'oraisa, you have to cook them together. You have to cook them together, in which case you violate the prohibition of cooking, and then when you eat them, you're going to violate the prohibition of achila. Wait one second. But if you eat them together, that certainly is aser. But that is going to be asur midrabanan, not midaraisa. And that was part of the message that the Torah conveys by formulating the Isser Achila in a language of bishul. Yeah, Dave?
You, as a minute or so, you've been using the words bishul or cooking. That's meaning specifically boiling or
yeah.
Other types of...
Yes, yeah. Most of the time, and hopefully with consistency, When we're referring to the prohibition of basar b'chalav, cooking is going to mean cooking like we're calling it. Meaning it's going to be putting in your stew, you know, cooking your meat of your chalent inside of milk. That's just the easiest case, right? So your milk is your medium and you put your meat inside of it. Obviously, that's not going to be the frequent case. Right? You know, maybe there are recipes that call for that. I don't know. But that's the classic case if you want to create basar b'chalav de'oraisa.
A cheeseburger.
So a cheeseburger is not so simple. It could be. Right? Right? Assuming that everything is kosher, based on what we have said so far, the cheeseburger would be asur midrabanan.
Even if it's melted on,
it wouldn't be through bishul, right? You're not going to. You're not going to boil it. Now, depending on how the burgers are made, we might sometimes get into the fried issue. I mean, sometimes they're made on a skillet or something like that, as opposed to on the barbecue, and that might depend on how much liquid accumulates on the bottom. That's what I was sort of hinting to beforehand. We'll call the McDonald's Shiloh, right? But there are other problems in the McDonald's Shiloh, but we'll talk about the McDonald's more soon.
Not much meat in it anyway, it's probably not an issue.
What?
It's not much meat in it anyway,
The Morrison is
a
problem.
I hear. Marasayan is going to be a whole other topic. We're going to leave Marasayan for. We'll have to talk about it. It comes up all the time. But yes, the simple shot is that the classic way that you would make a hamburger and you would put cheese and melt the cheese on top of it, you would violate an Isser Midrabanan, not an Isser Doraisa. As shocking as that may sound.
Right.
Now again, we keep Dirabanans and Doraisa.
If you're not cooking the cheese on the burger, if it just melts on it, that's not.
Yeah. Right, so that's why it's only asur midrabanan.
Oh, you said
dry. I'm sorry. Okay, so I was the classic cheeseburger is only going to be an asur midrabanan. Again, only in quotes. Yes.
Is there any reason the Gemara learned out three from the three pesukim, Hanan, Achila, as opposed to Bishul, Sli, and Afia?
The Gemara never addresses it. Again, like with most things in Torah, it was probably just the Masorah that they had. But right, once you had three things, in theory, they could have been three different things. So what the Torah has addressed is why is the Torah right the Isra Achila B'Lashon Bishul is to tell me that it has to be Derech Bishul. Now the Torah fills in as well.
What's this line? Aval Midraban and Aser B'Chol Inyan. Is the Torah setting it by alluding to Achila? Is it setting up a how is the Torah setting up a Derabban? What is that? I don't get that part.
Okay, you inadvertently got into a very, very lumdish shaila. I think inadvertently. If it wasn't, I apologize. he does not mean to say here, I don't think. Well, the Torah is just trying to summarize the halacha. All the Torah is trying to say is that the Torah wrote Isser Achila B'Lashon Bishul to teach me another halacha about what creates Isser Achila. The next line of Aval Midraban Aser B'Cholinyan is, you should just know, don't go out and eat it if it's combined in some other way. If you just take a slice of cheese from the refrigerator, a slice of salami from the refrigerator, and everything is cold, don't think that you're allowed to eat that. Midrabanan, any combination of the two is going to be usser. The lumdisha question is the reason that is basically is the fact that the Torah said that there's an isser. Why the Torah here say there's an isser bishul? And normally when it comes to other things that we're not allowed to eat, there's no issue of cooking them. Is the Torah perhaps creating what we would call a gezeira de'oraisa? Right? The same way usually the role of the Rabbanan is to keep us far away from violating an issur. Is it possible that what the Torah was saying is, you know, you can't even cook it because we don't want you to come to eat it, but on a de'oraisa level? That is a major discussion. That is a major discussion, and it may in fact be true.
But if he said there was the Torah would have used the term achila rather than bishul. The Torah specifically used the term bishul.
Right.
In three instances.
Yeah, no. It's two different points. It's two different points. The Torah used the language of bishul to tell me a detail about the Isra achila. The next step is the fact that there even is an Isser Bishul, not how the Torah wrote it, but the fact that here I can cook, I can cook a nevela, I'm allowed to take a pot and cook horse meat in it, There's no iser. I can't eat it. It's going to chafe up my pot. But there's no iser in cooking it. So how come I bust of a chalav, there's an iser of cooking it? It seems to be...
Seems like each one is mutter by itself, but the
So the Gemara does talk about that. That the Gemara says that basar b'chalav is a chiddush. What is the chiddush? So part of the chiddush, again, how exactly you understand this Gemara is a machlok, as we've shown him, is that you have two things that are mutter separately, and then you put them together, and then it's going to be usher. Now Toso says that's not such a chiddush. What's kilayim? you have two things that are mutter, and you put them together. So it could be it's a more nuanced chiddush than that, but that is correct. It is unique. And maybe, I think what you're suggesting or getting at is when it comes to something which you're used to eating, the Torah is more concerned that you may come to eat it, and therefore they built into the system other isurim. And might be, again, but they call it a syag d'oraisa, gzera d'oraisa, whatever it is, but maybe that is part of it. And it makes a lot of sense, right? Since we're used to eating these things, the Torah wants to make sure. We're going to see consistently throughout all the halachos of basar v'chalav that we have more of a tendency, Chazal had more of a tendency to create gzeros than normal. And sometimes they appear like they're gzera, which usually we don't do. And somehow this seems to be an exception to the rule. We'll see it as we go through. The most obvious example is one of the topics that, it's part of this packet or whatever you call it, but I don't think we're going to get there because I don't move that quickly. But is the waiting in between, right? Why are you waiting in between? Presumably you're waiting in between because you don't want to come to eat them together. But if you ate them together, you'd only be violating it as a derabanan, right? Because as long as they weren't cooked together, there's no problem. So we'll see. Chazal put many layers in, and apparently, and again, maybe this is the reason, once they saw that here, the Torah felt the need to put extra safeguards in place, so the Rabbanan also are amped up to do a little bit more in terms of creating gzeiros as well.
If you think of it takes Bishul to eat it, and it takes Bishul for you to prepare for others. So if you're not mevashalah, then you're not causing other seed, and you're not going to eat it yourself either.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's part of it, too. Oh. Then the Torah just said, mentioned at the end, because it's something that we were talking about beforehand, ugedi lav davka, don't think it's only a baby goat, right? Duhua dinami, sure, sev, eiz, loshlav, it doesn't matter what type of, has to be any type of kosher domesticated animal, and we'll see the domesticated part more in a second, but it has to be a kosher animal. Dora was giving an example. Oh.
Why would you think it's... Well, if it says specifically b'chalev imo, why would you think it's alluding to something in its own juices? Just the fried food example that you gave, that kind of...
Well, that's talking about two different things. One's talking; it's not talking about its own juice. One's talking about the meat. One's talking about the. It's not talking about the mother's milk when it's inside. It's talking about after it's already
right.
Produced.
All right, but yeah,
so it's two different items.
It's not water. It's not all right. Okay,
I think so. Yeah. So the Aruch HaShulchan notes, right, that there are two unusual elements that distinguish the prohibition of basar b'chalav from most other prohibitions in the Torah. So we mentioned this briefly, but the first one is deruba yisurei Torah mutarim bahana. Most items you are allowed to get hana'a from. Even if the item is usur, you are allowed to benefit from it. And we're going to finish up a few more sources here, and then we're going to get back to the isur hana'a, because there are some very important implications and ramifications to the isur hana'a, which I don't know that we usually think about. And the second one is v'chol yisurei Torah in isur rak b'achilasim b'vado yisurei hana'a gam b'nasav lo b'bishulam. Okay, so that's what we mentioned beforehand. So really, right, the fact that it's not just Aser Bachila, but it's Aser in terms of being Mevashal, it's Aser in terms of the Hana, those are all quite unique. Now, there are other Isurim that relate to Bishul, and there are going to be questions as to when we derive from one to the other, when we do not. The most prominent other Bishul is Shabbos, right, the Malach on Shabbos, because that's talking about Bishul D'Oraisa. The less prominent but also relevant will be Bishul Akum. It'll be a non-Jew cooking the food. And at what point that's in Isser Derabanan. So the parallels between Shabbos and Basar B'Chalav are going to be, at least to me, the more fascinating of them. For instance, give you one example. On Shabbos, we know there's a rule of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, at least by a Dover Yavesh. Which means you can't cook something twice. So if you have a raw piece of chicken and you cook it on Shabbos, you violated the Isser Doraisa of Bishel. Bishel and Afia on Shabbos are one and the same. So even though there was no liquid there, the Malacha Doraisa, actually the Mishnah writes it, is Afia, because right the first group of Malachas on Shabbos are the Sidur Depas, are based on how you make bread. For whatever reason, the Bishel, and you don't bake bread, but the title of Bishel has stuck with the Malacha. Both are true when it comes to Shabbos. So if you have a raw piece of chicken and you cook it on Shabbos, so you violate an Issur Doraisa. What if that piece of chicken cools down and I cook it again? I cannot violate Issur Doraisa again. There are Isurim Derabanan.
Double Jeopardy.
What?
Like Double Jeopardy.
Maybe. But the truth is that the svar behind it is actually going to be significant. So what about Basar B'Challah?
It's not Double Jeopardy, because if you cook the piece of chicken on Friday, when it's okay to cook it, and you cook it again on Shabbos.
That's true. Right. That doesn't mean you have to violate it. Yes, sir. That would still be okay.
It's in charge.
Right.
But you're not cooking it again because it can't be cooked again.
Oh, that's the real point. The real point is that cooking means taking something from raw to cooked. And you can only do that once. You can only do it once. So we say in Bishel Achar Bishel. Why liquids are an exception for a different time.
Well, that's not really true, because if you have a steak and you order it medium and you send it back and it's well done, so that's...
Because it wasn't fully cooked.
Well,
that's, again,
it's a relative term.
No, so that's the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashban in Hilchos Shabbos. If you have something which is raw, again, what's the definition of cooking at which you're going to be chayav in Shabbos? Michael ben Jusai, which we're going to call for now halfway cooked, just to make things simpler for us. So you can have something which is raw, and then you cook it halfway cooked, now you violated the Issur Doraisa. What if you then take that item, and from half cooked to fully cooked? Do you violate the Issur Doraisa again?
No,
that is it.
Half
right. That is a machlokas rishonim between the Rambam and the Rashba. Right? What's the lumdus behind it? Presumably, the lumdus is the definition of Bishel taking something from raw to make it edible, or the more I make it more edible, or edible to more people, right? There's some people who will not eat it rare or medium, whatever it is. So it is now more cooked, so I've still done something. So that's the machlokas rishonim. So in that case, it's a little bit different. But once you're fully cooked, there is no way to cook it again on Shabbos. So what about Basar B'Chalav? If I cook an item and it's Basar B'Chalav, and then I cook it again, do I violate the Issur Doraisa?
That's the whole question of Issur Chalav.
Maybe not. Issur Chalav, it would mean that...
Well, maybe only if it's an Avela, which is already...
Okay. But well, you're way too advanced for us. We'll get to the Nekudah and the Flav at some point.
But if you've
already...
What? You'd be adding an additional concept of
Anah
if you cook it a second time.
Meaning you'll violate the Issur Hanah if you did it some sort of assuming that you're benefiting somehow. So it's a very interesting Dugum Gilion Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. He says Ubasar shenis bashal lechudei vegam chol mevushal. What if you have fully cooked meat and fully cooked milk, and then you cook separately, and then you cook them together, Do you violate the Isser?
Yeah, because that's the first action.
Oh. Asser achargach levashlam yachad. You can't do it. Why? Because again, they might have been fully cooked, but the problem with the cooking is creating a chiftz, a piece of basar b'chalav. So that you do. But, v'lo ambrinan be'in bishel achar bishel. We don't say bishel achar bishel. Dezehu rak b'shabbos. That's only on Shabbos that we say that. Okay? But then he has a caveat. Umiyu... However, b'kfar nizbashlu yachad, if they already were cooked together, v'rotza levashlam shenis, and you want to cook them a second time, diek in the mishlo zav, the shari v'siyem etzorech again. Suggest that maybe it's mutter. It's not as obvious as on Shabbos, but he says that it's mutter. What would the idea be? That maybe the isser bishul is only going to be usser if it creates basar b'chalav. But if it already was basar b'chalav, that's not the prohibition. That's not the cooking that the Torah forbade.
Except that when you're cooking it the second time, why are you cooking it? For whatever reason you're cooking it for,
you're cooking it to be a nudnik, right? That's what Saul said before. If you're cooking it for some certified not, then you might violate certified not. If you're cooking it to be a nudnik, which is again, that's the stam in Shulchan Aruch. We assume that people are just doing things because you know, they want to, right?
Stroganoff got cold and you wanted to heat it up again.
Right. So, right. Could be. Could be. Ah, fine. So that's a bit of an aside. Ah. So the Mishnah in Chula now, so now we know that Gedi is not specifically a baby goat. It's not specifically a baby goat, and the Chalav does not have to belong to its mother. Says the Mishnah in Chula on the bottom in source 5. Baser behema tahora, the Chalav behema tahora, aser levasha v'aser bana. If you take meat from a kosher animal and milk from a kosher animal, you cannot, it's usher to cook them together, and you cannot benefit from the combination. Basar behema tahora becholav behema tmeya. But if you have meat from a kosher animal, so we'll call it beef, and you have pig milk, or basar behema tmeya, if you have pork, becholav behema tahora, and the milk of a kosher animal, mutter levashel umutter bahana. Not be'achila. You can't eat them. But again, what does that tell us here? Is that the iser of basar bechalav is only on kosher meat and kosher milk. Only on kosher meat and kosher milk. The iser achila for whatever you're eating is still going to be present.
But if you eat it, are you violating the iser of most of the Shalim, or is it eating treif?
Oh, so that's a good question. That maybe do you violate more than one iser or not? Maybe we'll be able to get into that. Again, it's a question that relates to the ein iser chalal iser question. But again, it's important because as the Rama is going to say, if you look at the seventh source, that kol basar bechalav sheinu aser min haTorah mutter bahana. Any time that you have basar bechalav which is not aser min haTorah, then there's not going to be an iser hana. So now what emerges, and this is very, very important, is that the only time that you're going to have an iser of hana'a is going to be if you cook kosher meat with kosher milk. But anything other combination, even if it's kosher, so if you're going to bake kosher meat with cheese on top, that is not going to create in Isser Hana'a.
But I have a non-kosher restaurant. I can own a non-kosher restaurant.
Ah, that's the question. The two critical questions are, I guess we'll call it three. 1A, 1B. Can I own a non-kosher restaurant? Again, if it's an Isser Hana'a, then obviously not. Sub-question to that is, can I work in a non-kosher restaurant? Right, depending on what I'm going to be asked to do, and more relevant to that,
not from it, right?
Well, you can't be the cook. Possible.
You right, depending on what you're going to have to be doing, and then another very, very common question related to this is culinary school. They go to culinary school, not the kosher one, right? The non-kosher culinary school.
It can't be kosher an animal. Can't be. It has to be kosher meat.
Oh, so that's also an important point.
There's only one and not the other. Then
right, the pashtus is that even a what we'll call basar nevela, improperly shechted, slaughtered meat of a kosher animal is still going to aser bahana. There is a Rambam. The Rambam in the Parash HaMishnayis in Maseches Krisos writes that he has a Nekuda Nefla. It's one of those terms you just have to, if anybody ever says Nekuda Nefla, you want to shake your head, you know what they're talking about. This is the only time the Rambam uses that term. And it refers to, the Rambam has a Chiddush that it relates a combination of what Saul said and a little bit what Moshe was saying beforehand, which is that if you have a basar nevela, if you have basar nevela, so again, kosher animal ate by species, but not shechted properly, and you cook it, so the Rambam says that we say ein iser chalal iser, and therefore there is no, you cook it with milk, I'm sorry, right? That's what we're talking about. Then it does not, there's no iser of basar b'chalav. Okay, but now that I cook them together, what about the iser hana'ah? The iser hana'ah should be a new iser. Right? Usually we say ein iser chalal iser, that one iser cannot, the same item when it's already usser, cannot become usser again. But usually if there's something additional, that can be chal. So the iser hana'ah should still be chal. The Rambam has a chiddush that only things that there's a connection between the iser achila and the iser hana'ah. And if it did not become forbidden of as an iser achila of basar b'chalav, then there is no iser of hana'ah either. It's not clear that we paskin like that. Rambam, we try not to. So even we try not to rely on that. And therefore, when if somebody was in, let's say, the culinary school, for example, a person would not be able to cook kosher species, meat and milk together as part of the school. If it wasn't cooking, if it was baking or something else, then again, person would be careful not to come to eat it. But you would be one would be allowed to do that, and any other, if you can make one of the other ingredients from a pig or some other animal, that would also work as well. What about watching somebody else do it? Don't I get hana? I'm getting hana. Okay, but I'm getting hana. Isn't it necessary for me to benefit? So we assume that looking at something is not considered to be hana. There's a fascinating tshuva related to nivel hames by doing autopsies, and they had a whole question whether somebody could be present if other people were being menavel the mace and treating the mace improperly, the autopsy, but we could gain certain knowledge. So one of the postcards, they wanted to say that it was going to be us, sir, because you're benefiting. You're benefiting from the mace. And I think the consensus was no. Just watching it is not considered to be benefiting.
So you can't get hana from a re'ir, but you can have a hezek re'ir? No, it doesn't. There's such thing as hezek
re'ir. Hezek re'ir is damage that you cause to seeing somebody by looking at somebody. Because it's not the issue of hezek re'ir is not that you benefited from somebody else; it's that you damaged the person in some way. Damage and hana don't have to be flip sides of the same coin. No, I don't think so.
There's no give and take.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Why does the Rama say that kol basar b'chalav shehinu asur min haTorah mutar b'hana and not say mutar b'bishul also? Isn't that what we said above, that if it's basar behema tamei b'chalav?
I mean, he's talking. No, again, this is where these books are a little problematic. I'll give you the full context of the what the Rama is commenting on. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's the opening sif in Basar B'chalav. It says three times not to cook the meat in the goat in the mother's milk. Like we said, three prohibitions. The term the achil as bishul omar sheinu aser min haTorah elo derech bishul v'amid rabbanan aser b'chol inyan. But mid rabbanan it's going to be aser any combination. Again, this is the quote of the language of the Torah. And then on that he writes, the Rama writes, kol basar b'cholav sheinu aser min haTorah mutar b'hana'a. I guess that his point is that it's going to be much more relevant of a discussion when it comes to whether you're allowed to get hana from it or not. meaning how however you're combining it is not normal bishul. So you can do it, but you're still not going to be able to eat the product.
But he's not saying this to exclusion.
I don't think so. No, I don't think
it's
so.
It's also what they're bishul.
I think so. I think so. I don't see why there would be a distinction. So what about owning a restaurant? So here it's actually much more complicated, not because of the Isser Hana'ah. So first of all, one thing which is just important to know in terms of Isser Hana'ah, what does Isser Hana'ah include? Means you can't give it to a guy. You can't give it to a guy. This comes up also with other items that are Isser Bahana'ah. You get a super understanding, if you get a bottle of wine, non-kosher wine, as a holiday gift, you can't give it to your cleaning lady. No, because it's Aser Bahana'ah. Stam Yenam is Aser Bahana'ah. And
well, you're assuming you're getting Hana'ah from it? You're just getting rid of it?
No, because the person's going to, you're going to get what's called Tova Sana. The person's going to feel a little bit better about you, unless it's bad wine. But
that's a stretch.
I don't think it's a stretch at all. If you gave it to her in lieu of salary, maybe, but I'm saying if you gave it to something extra, it's a tip.
It's a bonus.
It's a tip. So that is going to Usher. A bigger Chiddush, the Poskim write, so and again, similarly, you wouldn't be able to feed it to your animal, saving you money. The bigger Chiddush, the Poskim write, is that you're not even allowed to give it to an animal that's Hefker. Why not? What's the Hana? What's the Hana? So, the Poskim write that there's a certain Hana to you feeding an animal. Varaya, people pay money to go to the zoo and put that gross stuff in their hand and have an animal lick at it. I mean, think about it, it's like almost disgusting, but we all do it. Why would somebody pay money? There's a certain hana'a that people get of feeding animals. They get the hana'a, not just the animal for it. That's the post-game, right? Yeah. Right, but midrabanan, the isra, again, that not always is there a connection between an isra achila and an isra, and isra d'orais and isra hana'a. Midrabanan, they asked it by hana'a also. Yeah. That's a question that they talk about returns. Are returns considered to be aser bahana or not? But it's a little bit beyond our scope. But I wanted to get to the last thing was the restaurants. Again, when it comes to stocks, the person's so far removed, it's hard to. I don't think the post can assume that there's a problem owning a company, even if they're going to be producing some baser b'chalav, which would be aser b'hana'ah. A restaurant is much more direct, but there is additional issue. The Shulchan Aruch paskins in Yerodeya and Kuf Yud Zayin that it's aser midrabanan to do business with non-kosher food. With non-kosher food, to have a business which is based on selling non-kosher food is a separate aser d'rabanan. Nothing to do with baser b'chalav, nothing to do with the aser hana'ah. It's called aser schora bedvarim hasurim. Presumably, the Isser Midrabanan is coming from the more you're involved in it, you might come to eat or something like that. So the
meat or chicken as well.
Doesn't matter what they're not going. It could be clams.
So in other words, I'm saying chicken would be the same.
Chicken that was shot.
What?
I mean that wasn't shechted properly.
Yeah.
It would be the same thing. Anything which is aser b'achila, to have a business with things that are aser b'achila, you're in Kuf Yud Zayin, is iser schora.
The biggest
like wholesale food distribution or something like that.
It's an issue. If it's part of the business, but again, it's a much bigger topic. I was raising it more because I think people are very unaware of it. But there are sometimes that there are certain things which are kind of like throw-ins. Like if you have a full business, and you can't provide one specific product for, say, canned goods or something like that, and you can't provide one specific product for your customer, so you may lose the customer completely, and it's more of like an ancillary, so then there may be more room to be makel. But for it to be the direct the business, there is an isser, and there's an isser midrabanan.
My understanding of the way the kosher shechting world works is their biggest moneymaker.
70% goes to trade.
Right. But that's not the purpose of their business. That's figuring out once it was created. They would rather They would rather everything be able to be sold.
And if I was given a treif bottle of wine, I'd rather it had been kosher.
But that has an Isser Hana on it. Again, two different Isurim. That's what
selling it, doesn't give me Hana?
No, that's not an Isser Hana. It's an Isser Schora. There's an Isser
to... you're saying there isn't...
Yeah, even when there's no Isser Hana. So we're talking, again, clams or something like that. There's no Isser Hana. There's no Isser Hana. There is a separate Isser Rabbanon of setting up a business of dealing with non-kosher food.
You're specified. You said you're setting up a business to sell shelves, right? But you're not. What you said before was if you have a wholesale distribution and six.
It's a lot more complicated than that. I was just trying to say that there's room to have a discussion under there. My main point was to highlight the Isser Hana, but B is again this. I think this halacha, which is a halacha in Siman and Shulchan Aruch, is not as well known. That there is a problem with a Jew owning a restaurant beyond the Basar B'chalav. It's not just the Isser Hana. It's called an Isser Schora B'dvarim HaAsurim. Doing business with forbidden items in and of itself is going to be Aser. It may have nothing. It has nothing to do with Basar B'chalav.
Correct.
Even things that are not Aser B'Hana, you're still going to. One last point, which is interesting in terms of the Isser Bishul. So the post can talk about. What if you're going to, if you have, your dirty towels and stuff like that, and some used for milchiks and some for fleishiks, and you throw them into the washing machine together? Hot water, hot wash. So they're the poskim. It is happening, but the derech lichluch...
intention to cook them together.
It's a good question if it has to do with intention or not.
Same Pesach and Chametz also. What if you put a towel...
Chametz is only Aser B'Hana on Pesach.
There's nothing left at the end.
The hot wash? Definitely got some lettuce.
There's no chepta at the end.
Yeah, so again, that's the post Karim Megalon. One last point to the last point was... I'm going to forget next time. Is that... as much as we're going to see that there are a lot of gzeros that the Chachamim put in place when it comes to Achila, there are no Isurim Derabbanan, and that's really what the Ramah was getting at when it comes to Bishul or when it comes to Hana'ah. When it comes to Hana'ah, which is interesting. And the lumdus behind that may be what we said beforehand, which that if the whole idea of the Isur Bishul and the Isur Hana'ah were maybe to be a siyag, a fence, the Isur Achila, so on the Isur Achila, the Chachamim felt the need to put something else. But to put an Isur Drabbanan in place on top of that, there the Drabbanan did not do so. Yashikayach, thank you for coming. Pleasure to learn together.
Yeah.